Today we're talking about towns, small towns, what might be your favorite thing in the town where you live or maybe the town where you grew up. And we're talking with Chuck Marone this morning from the Community Growth Institute. Is that the right name of it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yes.
Hi, Chuck. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So what do you think, this is a big, broad, general question, but what makes a good town for you personally?
Wow. Yeah, that is a really broad question. And I think for me personally, and I think probably for most people, at least scientifically, people that have studied this, what makes a great town is the strong sense of place. When you go into a small town, you can tell the ones that have captured that because it feels like a destination. It feels like a place you could get out, walk around, get lost in. And it's got this kind of homey, charming feel. And there are a lot of aspects to that that, from a technical standpoint, you can quantify. As a planner, we kind of step back and look at things like the spacing of buildings, the alignment of the buildings. Do the buildings line up and form walls? Do they create comfortable space for people to be in? When you go to towns that have really captured that, they tend to pop. And they become very vibrant places and places that a person feels comfortable being in, whether it's driving through slowly in a car or whether it's out walking through pedestrian areas.
What about where you live? Do you have any of those good feelings? We have in common that we grew up in Brainerd. You still live in that area, but what do you like about the area where you live?
Oh, it's a good question. And I think, you know, it's probably relevant to our listeners. If I had to list the top 50 greatest small towns, Brainerd would not appear on that list. And not because I don't love the place, warts and all, but because they just have not done that. They've not captured that real sense of place. I know that they have recently done a downtown improvement project, and that is a very small first step in, I think, retrofitting the city to capture that sense of place that they once had. But if you look at Brainerd and the layout of Brainerd and think back to what it looked like pre-automobile, you had a higher density growing up. I know you experienced this too. When a building would burn down in the downtown, what would they do with that space?
Mm-hmm.
They would make it into parking. When they took down the Twin and the Paramount Theaters, they became parking lots. And so you had these kind of monumental buildings that bookended the city, existed at the end of some of the unique vistas and streets were terminated with these beautiful buildings. The density has changed, and a lot of those areas have been turned into wider highway-type streets, more surface parking. And because of that, it feels more like a city trying to become a suburb than a city trying to capture its place. Because of that, Brainerd is an incredibly frustrating place for me because I go through and I see a ton of potential to create a great community and a place where people would pay large sums to live and to open their businesses. And I see that completely lost by investments that they make in running freeways through town and encouraging growth on their periphery and doing other things that most small towns mistakenly do when they're trying to create tax base.
I don't know if you have this same feeling, but because I don't live in Brainerd, but I'm there fairly often. But it doesn't even necessarily feel like the place where I grew up anymore.
It doesn't. And you can point to those things. I mentioned the Twin and the Paramount Theater. I'm sure you went there. I remember seeing Star Wars at the Twin Theater, and, mm-hmm. you know, what a trip. I mean, that place was incredible. I understand from a market standpoint why the Twin no longer stands there and why it no longer exists. What Brainerd has failed to capture, though, is that space. It is such a prominent space. It is such a bookend kind of space for the community, and to allow it to go into a surface parking lot, not only do you lose the vitality of that space, but as you stand on South 6th Street and look north, that space really frames Gregory Park. You know, mm-hmm. last time you and I hung out together, we saw each other at Gregory Park for Arts in the Park. Gregory Park, in terms of the city of Brainerd, used to be pre-automobile this central gathering place, this very vital center of the community. The South 6th Street, the big long boulevard that stretched through Brainerd, ended and terminated with this vista of a park. So you would look down the street would be framed by these monumental buildings, including the large theaters and the other historic buildings that fronted that street, and they would frame that park at the end. And this would give the public realm a very vibrant, alive kind of feel. As we've gotten rid of that density and as we've kind of devolved those spaces, we've created spaces that feel very auto-oriented, have a feel very much like a suburb, which is cold, harsh, and sterile. It's kind of the opposite of vibrant. And yeah, what you're seeing from when you were a kid to now is just this slow devolution of that vital core.
But, you know, you mentioned this Arts in the Park, and I think to a large extent the 4th of July parade in Brainerd, those things, those that have been going on there forever, and also Franklin Arts Center. I don't know if you've been there, but that, like, even when I went to the Arts in the Park, I was close to Franklin where I used to go, and when I've been in there and what they've done with that, have those kind of three institutions of that area do make me feel like, okay, this is where I grew up.
Absolutely. Well, and you can catch those pockets of it. But really, if you step back and look at it, pretty much all small towns nationwide have struggled with the same issue. And that is this. As highways have come in and as development subsidies have been handed down from state and federal governments, they have encouraged development along the periphery. And that development is largely auto-oriented. And it's encouraged the road networks within the town, which typically, historically, work very complex streets, complex where you could drive, you could park, you could walk, you could bike, all in a very safe environment. It's encouraged those places to be turned largely over to the automobile. So you have wider street sections. You have one-way streets. You have streets where parking's removed. Sidewalks are devalued, and if they're there at all, they often run right along the street, so you don't have that safe protection from the automobiles. You look at this, and what you see is that instead of, like, urban areas, the Twin Cities metropolitan area, the downtown Minneapolis, is becoming more dense all the time. What you see in the urban areas of our small towns is that they're actually becoming less dense. And they're becoming less dense trying to compete with the Walmart, the Target, the strip mall, all the things that are being built along the periphery. In a small town system, what you have is you have this growth on the center on a certain suburban type of model. And you have the growth in the core of the community devolving to be of that same type. We force everyone in a small town to get into their car, to take every trip. I was up in Emily a couple weeks ago, and I laughed at everybody because we literally went from one place to the next that were next door to each other. They were a block away, and every single person I was traveling with got into a separate car and drove there. One block, five different people. This is what we've done to our small towns. We've made them so that every trip is an auto trip, and because of that, the layout and design of those special places, those places that we remember as kids and that we, you know, look to today to be the places that we go to and recreate and try to be in, those special places are devolving to be competitive in an auto-oriented world with the suburban development that we see on the periphery. It's very frustrating.
That's Chuck Marone from the Community Growth Institute. You hear him Thursday mornings on Making Sausage with Scott Hall and Colleen Nardone. Now, Chuck, let's take a specific example here, because I really, before I started reading the blog that you do and listening to you on KEXE, I didn't really realize what it meant when a town makes a change in their roads, you know, puts in a passing lane and does that kind of thing. Tell us about what happened in Brainerd on College Drive.
Well, and it's in the process of happening right now, too. Mm-hmm. And this is an interesting little segment of road. Back when I was a kid, College Drive, and you probably remember this too, College Drive is a little gravel road. It was a little shortcut where you could cut from the county road over to the high school. It would go past the community college. There's some apartments there. It was a really rough road, so you didn't ride it unless you were really in a hurry. You would typically go around some other way. College Drive over the years now has been systematically upgraded and widened. The speeds increased. The design has been to increase the capacity. As engineers, we call it level of service. And so to make sure that we could funnel more and more cars in there with less and less congestion. As this has happened in Brainerd, the city of Baxter has responded by reconfiguring their road system of local streets, collector streets, arterial streets, to funnel a lot of their traffic through this very same corridor. And so now Brainerd is at the point where they have this road that used to be a small local street that served the college and the apartments on the other side of the street. Students would get out, walk across to the college. Now they have what is amounting to a highway, or they're going to build a highway that's going to run through here, a very high-capacity road. It will be four lanes. It will be high speed. It will provide for a high level of service and a high average daily traffic, all the planning, engineering specs that you try to meet. But really, at a massive investment, it is going to put a gash through this entire neighborhood. You live on one side and try to walk across four lanes of traffic to get to the other side to go to school, it's just not going to happen. They are putting in underpasses and that type of thing. Those kind of after-the-fact functional corrections that we try to make when we've misaligned or misappropriated a road, turned a street into a road, those things don't work ultimately. We're in the process of doing that on College Drive now today to create what is in effect a third east-west connection across the Brainerd-Baxter area, with the full intent being we want to increase how fast you can get through town.
And I know one of the latest posts that you've put on your blog for the Community Growth Institute was something that happened to you this summer when you were headed out with your family and you went through the town of Park Rapids, a place that you've always enjoyed, but it was a little different.
Park Rapids is such a beautiful town, and I've always loved Park Rapids. When I first graduated from college and was working on inspecting on engineering projects, I was stationed up in Nevis, and I would drive to Park Rapids all the time in the evening to eat because I liked being there. I enjoyed the town. If you drive now, I went up to Walker and headed west and drove into Park Rapids. What they have done is taken the highway that runs through town. That it was a highway that, yes, did they have congestion problems? Absolutely. The design kind of induces that. You encourage everybody to drive along one road. You don't encourage people to take other routes or look at other options, and so it does tend to get congested. They've encouraged development along the periphery, and so this type of development has a lot of accesses, a lot of in and out traffic, and so you induce a lot of trips, and the road gets congested. To solve that, instead of correcting those mistakes that have been made in the past, they simply doubled down on it and created a five-lane freeway through the center of town. You've got four traffic lanes, two very wide, expansive lanes in each direction, wide recovery shoulders on the edge, and then you've got a center turn lane, that kind of suicide lane that we see in the middle where you can pull into and then wait so that the traffic isn't slowed by you making a left turn. What this has done is, besides dramatically alter the character of this town, it, in a very, very expensive way, has really devalued the historic downtown that is there and all of the development that exists within that community. It has made development on the periphery even cheaper and easier to do at the expense of the entire rest of the community. And to me, it's a tragedy because they've taken a beautiful town and really applied the wrong development model to it.
A similar road change happened in Grand Rapids where it's five lanes now on Highway 2 as you go through town. What should they have done instead of that, would you say?
It's interesting because Blandin came out last spring with a project, and we did not submit on this project. They were looking to try to solve the transit problem. Rural areas have a difficult time doing transit because everybody's so spread out. The solution that we actually proposed and didn't go forward as far as a proposal, but suggested to them was, hey, instead of trying to find a way to get the bus to operate more cheaply, what you really need to do is try to work to reconfigure these communities so that the trips are no longer necessary. If you are a business operating in downtown Grand Rapids, the greatest thing that can happen to you is to have local people be able to walk to conveniently your business, and not just a handful or a couple neighborhoods, but really everyone within a mile to be able to, as part of their daily ins and outs of walking and their daily ins and outs of commuting, be passively near your business. What we've done is we've reconfigured those towns to make every trip an auto trip, and that makes the big box and the type of development that you see along that road in Grand Rapids much more competitive than it otherwise would be, and the development that you see near and in the neighborhoods that we've created much less competitive. If we looked at roads as being something we built outside of urban areas, and we built them with highway geometries and highway speeds, and we looked at streets as being something we built within urban areas, and we did those with different values, values of return on investment, building community, creating a sense of place, you would have cities function and small towns function radically different than they do today. It's not clear why we insist on building highways and highway geometries through the middle of urban areas and converting streets into roads. If we had a clear demarcation and said roads are for moving traffic at high speeds, streets are for creating value and sense of place and providing ways for people to get around, our cities would not only function better, but they would economically be much, much stronger.
That's Chuck Marone with the Community Growth Institute. Chuck, how can people find you guys online?
Well, communitygrowth.com is our website. We do run the blog that you referred to at strongtownsblog.com.
Okay.
And we'd love to have people stop by and participate in the discussion we've got going on there.
Sounds great. It's between you and me on KEXE. We want you to call in, tell us about what you like about the town where you live, maybe what you don't like. 218-326-1234. Chuck, always great talking with you.
Thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.